So we are up to Simon Yud. We're going to start again from Yud Ches. We were in the middle, we got cut off the middle of the page last time. It's on page Ayin Dalet. Malin ba'kodesh v'loy meridin. We go up and not down. Therefore, utfilin shel rosh kedushasa gedoyle mishal yad. The tefillin shel rosh have a higher kedush mishal yad. Why? Because the partials are divided into four compartments. That's a very big chiddush. He's saying a tremendous chiddush. So what? Just because they're divided into four compartments, that gives them more kedusha. The tefillin shel yad, all four partials are one bayis, one piece of parchment. The tefillin shel rosh, we divide it. Dividing into four compartments to some degree, four batim, four separate compartments, gives them more kedusha. The gam hashin, that's only secondary. It's not the way the average person is. The chiddush lahalacha. Average, ask a child, which has more kedusha. So if they're lucky, you're lucky, he'll tell you the shel rosh. Why? He'll tell you because it has the shay, the shin. It has the shin and the dalet. The shin and the dalet is rove of Hashem's name. It's shin dal yud. The yud is on the shin shel yad. The shin and the dalet on the shel rosh has rove. Along this rove is the majority. It has more kedusha. That's secondary. The ikar is because it's four compartments. So, but each compartment only has a quarter, only has 1/4. So the same with the kedusha should be diminished. No, four compartments has more kedusha than one compartment, even though each compartment only has 1/4 of what the one compartment has. The gam hashem chinde for ritzua the ritzua shaisa b'shel roish, also la shaisa b'shel yad. You're not allowed to take the ritzua shel roish and use it for the shel yad once it has been designated for the tefillah shel roish. It's an insult to downgrade to the tefillah shel yad. Avol mi shel yad. You're allowed to upgrade from shel yad to shel rosh. The chayin ritzua shel yad shenifsekol lemala. Another very important halacha. If the ritzua shel yad snapped, and you want to, it's a very long ritzua shel yad, and you want to use it, you want to continue to use it, so you want to turn it upside down. I'm going to use the part that was used to wrap around the fingers. I'm now going to use that part of the ritzua shel yad on the top. I'm going to make a new kesher. That's where the yud's going to be, and I'm going to use that side. And now the result will be that what used to be used to tie the shel yad to my arm is now going to end up being tied around my fingers. Towards the bottom, also because the bottom part of the upper part of the ritzua shel yad has more kedusha than the lower portion of the ritzua shel yad. And by the way, we find the concept of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, what do we have? We have the Kroshim, and the Kroshim, how do we know that you're not allowed to write on Shabbos? What's so terrible if you would write on Shabbos? But we know, because everything that we know on Shabbos only comes from the Mishkan. Where in the Mishkan did they need to write? On the Kroshim, there were letters. Like a sukkah, you have an old sukkah, you have panels, and it has numbers on the panels. 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the numbers. The truth is, if you go look at a building, construction site, they're also, every construction site, every beam that comes in, every steel beam. When I was a child, I used to be fascinated with construction. I used to sit by construction sites and watch them put up the steel and the concrete and all these things. I learned the whole malacha. So every beam has a number, and they have blueprints, and it comes off the truck and the crane. They don't know what's going on. They look at the numbers. I remember the most fascinating. I was there in the construction site. They had this beam. They took it up all the way on top. And there are all these workers, they literally risk their lives to climb and scale this Lego. They were trying for an hour to connect it. But finally, they came to the conclusion that the factory made a mistake. That the beam just doesn't fit no matter what. If this is the beam, the numbers are right, and it belongs to fit in this very tight spot, it just doesn't go. When they cut it in the factory, when they sent it on the truck, they had to cancel all the work for a few days. Until they send, because you cannot continue until you get a new beam. That's construction. That's the world of construction. I don't know what they were doing. But every beam had a place. What did they do in the Mishkan? They wrote a number on each keresh to indicate that this keresh, it was located in this location. So when they take it down, they travel 42 masos. And when they re-erect the Mishkan, the beam goes in the same location. Why? Malin b'kodesh v'loy meridens. A keresh that was zoicha, had the zuchus of being part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, close to the Aron, it's a downgrade in its Kedusha if you would now use it, even though they're all identical, they're interchangeable, if you would use it towards the front of the Heichal. And it's, so therefore, it's, you're not allowed to downgrade each Kerish Gan, its initial Kedusha, when it was put there for the very first time, and taking that Kerish and going to another part, you are downgrading, there are two Nyanim. Number one, you're being married with Kodesh. Number two, it's a busha. It's a shame you're being mevazeh. Well, once had a higher stature, you're going down a level of Kedusha. Everyone knows the famous Shaila. It's a very popular Shaila. It was based on Knesset, and it was a person that had the schus of sitting Mizrach. He sat Mizrach. And then the shul was very successful. There wasn't enough room. So they expanded the shul. So they expanded on the Mizrach side. So the people who bought the seats, Mizrach, now they have another row in the front, another row. So the people who paid a lot of money for the Mizrach in the old shul, they said, since we have rights to seat Mizrach, now that we have expanded the shul, so we're going to move up to the new Mizrach. The committee said, no, we have now a new row. You have the seats where you were. Where you were, that's where you bought your seat. Now we have expanded the shul. We have a new row of Mizrach. And those new seats are going to go to the highest bidder. If you want to go buy those new seats, fine. But if you don't want to go buy those new seats, just because you had Mizrach in the old shul, does not give you a right. So who won the Din Torah? The committee won the Din Torah, not the Baal HaBatim. Because the seats you bought, you bought. It's true that at that point in time, they were the most chashuv because it happened to be Mizrach. But now that the shul has been expanded, and there's another row of Mizrach, those new seats can go to, those are new seats, anyone who wants to buy them can buy them, and the committee can set the price they want. And if you don't want to buy them, you're just not going to be sitting in Mizrach. You'll have to go sit second fiddle. You'll sit in the second row, not in the first row. But it comes from the... But it comes from... What?
They lost members.
But this idea of Malin Makodesh V'loy Maridin to some degree does come from the Mishkan, the Krashim, that was Zoicha to be in the Mizrach, cannot be removed, cannot be changed. That's why they had to run each individual Keresh, its precise location. So here as well, the Ritzua, the front of the Ritzua has more Hashivas, because it was used to tie the Shalyat to the arm. What's wrapped around the finger has less Hashivas, it's not as Kodesh. The nail is also to swish to Mahape from the front to the back. So what can you do? The next best thing to do is just move everything up. If the very top of the kesha of the ritsui is no longer usable, so cut off that section and just move up the entire thing. And that way, everything is being upgraded. No, nothing is being downgraded. Turn the ritsui shalosh upside down. If you undo the kesher and you want to go start all over again, you're now going to go upside down. You ask me the same location. Next, kisher also lahachzik bo tefillin v'gamach ziku boish v'gamach ziku bo new halacha zmona milsa. This is a big sugya. You have a tefillin there, and the tefillin there was used to hold tefillin. It has been designated for restoring tefillin, and designation is not enough. You have to actually use it at least one time. You designate this for tefillin, and you actually put your tefillin in the bag at least one time, unless you make a tanai. Shuv also l'shtamish b'kizeh davar shel chun. If now you get a nice new tefillin bag, and you want to use your old tefillin bag for a candy bag, or you want to use it if it's stuck a bag, it's osur. Because since it was used for a tashmish of kedusha, it's a higher kedusha, you're not allowed to downgrade and use it for a tashmish of mitzvah, and certainly not for a tashmish of choil. So you have no choice but to put it in geniza. Nothing. Okay, let's see over here. We already did some stood again. We did on the right side. Malon Kodesh will read in Ayin Berhetev Diyos Lachlof Akisim VeAmbatim VeParshios Retzuch Mishal Rashi Lera Beinu Tamidus last week. Oy Ebchol Oran of Mishnah Bura Hevi Rudiyesh Makim Samam Maimekol Lachlof Beinu Tamidus Shal Rashi. You know, some want to say that since Rashi is the Ikar, Rashi has more kedusha, and you are allowed to upgrade. Shein Leacheres when you have no other choice. V'loy Ibchol, but not vice versa. You're not allowed allowed to go from Rabbeinu Tam to Rashi. Next, or Oud Kosav Shav, Dimotza Ritzua Ve'enu Yodeh Im Hishal Rashi or Shal Rabbeinu Tam, define Ritzuos, and you do not know if these Tfilin Ritzuos came from Rashi's Tfilin Rabbeinu Tam, and you want to use them for, let's say, you want to use them for one or the other, what can you do? Yochol Lanichem L'Shal Rashi. We go Bosso Rav called the Parish, Meiruba Parish. We can assume Deruba Manichem Shal Rashi. Ve'enan Tzvilon Gamkein, the Rashi Ikor, and Meilu Malin. Even another story, even if you go to him and this is from Rabbeinu Tam, it's okay. We can combine that source since Rashi is the Igor, so he's saying a very big Kiddush. Rabbeinu Tam will be insulted here. Rashi's tefillin is more Kiddusha. It's not just that there's a Rashi and there's a Rabbeinu Tam and they're two different Kiddushas. Since the halacha is like Rashi, it's a tremendous chiddush lahalacha. It's a long in halacha. Since la halacha, we accept Rashi, mimela gives Rashi's tefillin more kedusha. That's a very big chiddush. Ayin b'shailus ha'tshuvas sh'keren David b'im nis'arvu ha'ritzuas b'shal Rabbeinu Tam l'shal Rashi chad b'tshrei batal. I'm sure the Satan had the Shaila. You have a lot of Ritzuos lying around, and you do not know some were for sure from Rashi, some were for sure from Rabbeinu Tam, and you don't know what's what. They get mixed up. If the Roif is Rashi, it's Batal. Spotel chai betray. Mishal Rabbeinu Tam, Mishal Rashi chai betray batal. V'im nis'arvu chai betray. Yikach le'ezinem sheyirtze. In any situation where it gets mixed up, chai betray, they would say it's batal. You can take whatever you want. Any situation, as long as you know that the majority, was even Rabbeinu Tam, it appears, if the majority is Rabbeinu Tam, it's batal chai betray. So you can use all the ritzus for Rabbeinu Tam tefillin because the majority were Rabbeinu Tam, and vice versa. Also, that's for sure because we have other reasons to be makel. Because of Mal Mekodesh. Okay, let's go to the next halacha, Yutes. Yutes, Ein Lach Leitz Tfilin Ad Lachar Kedushas Uvolet Tzioin. You're not allowed to take off Tfilin until after you finish the Kedushas Uvolet Tzioin. Now, he's saying over here, he's not saying Kaddish. He's being very lenient. The Mishnah Berurah is very machmir on this. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not take off Tfilin until after you say the Kaddish. Kaddish Tiskabel. After Uvolet Tzion. He's saying you can already take it off after you say the Kedusha of Uvolet Tzion, which is Kadosh, 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 and Baruch. So here we have a leniency. This is a kula of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. We'll see more. Kesha'oimer Yiratzayim Shemishmer Chukecha. When you say the words, Yiratzayim Lofnacha Shemishmer Chukecha Boilam Hazev Veniske Venichi Venirash. Why does he say that you should wait until you say the words Yiratzon Shenishmer Chukecha? Because of the Gemara in the Sechta Brachos that tells us that in Eretz Yisrael was the Minog that you make a bracha b'shem Malchus when you take off your tefillin. Can you imagine such a thing? When you take off your tefillin, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'Tzivanu Lishmor Chukecha, to guard your chukim. That's what they did in Eretz Yisrael. Unheard of today. We make a bracha l'aliyach, make al mitzvahs. It's already a whole shayla to make a second bracha. But to make a bracha when you take off tefillin, that, of course, it's not accepted l'halacha for us. I don't think anyone in the world does, as far as I know, does it today. But in the Gemara brachas, it tells us that this was done by the Bnei Marava. Why? Because you have to guard the sanctity. It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah drabanan to guard the sanctity of tefillin. The reason why are you taking off your tefillin? Yeah, you can't be nizhar in its kedusha. You have to go to the Beis HaKisei. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to do mundane activities where you cannot devote your mind to concentrate on its sanctity. So taking off your tefillin is a nisa of guarding Hashem's chukim. Part of Hashem's laws are we have to guard Hashem's kiddush. It's a very deep concept in making the bracha on taking off tefillin. It involves the idea that things which are holy have to be treated as holy. The way we do a nisa, an action to show that we treat things that are holy with the kiddush that they deserve is we take off our tefillin. When we do mundane activities, we're wearing tefillin. It's part of our we're autopilot mode. I'm wearing tefillin, so what's the big deal? Let me go to work wearing my tefillin. Let me go do my daily activities wearing tefillin. What's the big deal? No! The tefillin are holy, and you're about to engage in unholy activities. It's a contradiction. You have to guard its sanctity. Do a mitzvah to guard its sanctity. Don't just continue in autopilot mode. Guard its sanctity. Take off the tefillin. That is a ma'isa kumbiase to guard the sanctity of an davar shabbat kedusha. That requires a bracha. Asher kedusha b'mitzvah sonu ulishmar chukecha. And we don't do that. We don't do that. Why? I don't know why exactly. Because I guess I have to think about it. Why don't we do? Why is the Gemara reject this? The Bavli, the halach lemaisa. We don't do this. However, although we do reject it, there's a zeichel l'davar. The Zeichel Davar is Yotza, we say in Asher Volotzim Yotza Mofnach Hashem Lokein Lelokei Avoseinu, Shenishmar Chukecha Bo'olam Hazeh. We have those words, Shenishmar Chukecha, which would have been the words of the Bracha, so at least when we say that Yehi Ratzon, it's a make-believe Bracha. So make believe bracha, and after we say Shenishma Chukecha Bo'olam Hazeh V'Nizke V'Nichya V'Nir V'Nir Hashem Baruch L'Shem Hashemashich V'Chai Ha'olam Haba, then we take off the tefillin. That's what the Kitta Shulchan Aruch advises to do. Some don't actually take it off; they kiss their tefillin. They kiss their tefillin because you don't want to take it off yet. Like if you want to follow the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah is very tough. He says, don't take them off; keep them on at least until you finish the Kaddish Tiskabel, that's all part till this prayer. The prayer is not over until you say Tiskabel Tzilosahon Uva'uson D'chol Beis Yisrael. It ain't over till it's over. That is the end of prayer when you say Tiskabel. Aleinu and the Yom, these are all additions, supplements. But the end of prayer is Kaddish Tiskabel. Tefillin is Lashon Tefillah. We wear the tefillin in the time of tefillah, and therefore halacha l'maisa, it's not proper to take off the tefillin until you say Kaddish Tiskabel. However, not everyone agrees. The Ketzer says there's a beautiful milah taking off the tefillin when you say Shenishma Rukecha, because that's really the bracha that you should have said to take off the tefillin. Ein next. Now he goes, Ein cholzin es atfilin ad shiachsar anachar kedushas uvolutzioin. Next. Oh, I'm asking. Welcome, Shanaigim. I'm sorry. Yeah, here's Shanaigim. Next, second line. You test second line. Welcome, Shanaigim. Shabiyim kriyas at sevet Torah. Ein machzim es at sevet Torah. Ad achar kedushas uvolutzioin. Right. That's nusach svard. Okay, nusach svard. You say tiskabel first. I don't even know. I almost never daven nusach svard.
Yes.
And then you put back the Sefer Torah,
yes.
Right? So then you got. Then you have no choice. Then ein cholt. It's disrespectful. So Monday, Thursday, ein cholt nes atzilin ad sheyach ziru es a Sefer Torah lehechol. Similar davar, he quotes the pasuk. The pasuk is not because it's disrespectful. I thought it was because it's disrespectful. You take off your tefillin in front of the Sefer Torah. That's an act of disrespect. You don't take off your tefillin in front of a Rebbe. Why? I don't think it's so much because you take off your tefillin because you're megala your roish. When you take off your tefillin, you take off a yarmulke for a moment. It's a gili roish. It's disrespectful to uncover your head in front of the rabbi. So when you're speaking to the rabbi, it's not respectful to take off your tefillin. So certainly it's not respectful to take off your tefillin in front of the Sefer Torah to the Megala the Roish in front of the presence of the Sefer Torah. That's not what he says. You make all you want. But you have to see what it says in the text. What does it say in the text? It says because of the pasuk, it says because of Simuldar Vayavar Malcolm Lefnehem, their king passed before them, the Hashem the Roishan. The Sefer Torah represents the Shekhinah. Represents the Shekhinah, it's Hashem, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim is in their presence, and then after the presence of the Melech passes, it is returned to the Aron HaKodesh, while the Melech is present, the Hashem B'Roishan. Kol Zman, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, you have to keep your tefillin on. Now we discuss something which is very important. Bris Milah. Most of us go to a bris milah and you look around and you will see that the vast majority, 99% of the tzibur is not wearing their tefillin. Who is wearing their tefillin? If you're lucky, they're wearing the moyel, usually not. The moil usually not because he wants to maneuver. He wants to maneuver. Yes, Iker is the father, the Aviyaden, the Sandik, the Aviyaden, the Sandik. If you're lucky, many times they're also not wearing tefillin. The kavata and the one who makes the brachas, the principles, right? A very good word. The principles.
You make a meal in the afternoon.
No, so they put on tefillin in the afternoon. Yeah. Sure, I've seen many times. They used to have in yeshiva where they used to have a brief meal like by mincha. Because it's very common. The doctor says the baby's yellow, he's not ready yet. And all of a sudden, he says, maybe by the end of the day, it'll be okay. So the end of the day, he says, okay, the baby's ready to go. So they have a 1, 2, 3 verse mila in shul. Like everyone gets together where you go to the mincha.
But the
Kaparim,
so, they made it especially towards the evening.
What?
Yeah.
Who?
By the Bukharim.
The Bukharim? Yeah. I don't know why.
I was invited.
Okay, could be, all right.
I worked for the
Maybe because they come back from work. Everyone wants to come. They have to go to work or they come back. The family's not ready until later in the day. But a tightness? What do you mean? It doesn't make matter. Delay to have the Suda? Zrizimakdimim. I think that's unusual. When you make a bris?
Early in
the morning. The suit is at night. Zrizin Magdimin. Many of you don't want to play games. You have the bris as early as possible because the eighth day, once you start delaying for the end of the day, who knows? There could be a delay. We're caught in traffic. So if we turn around, it's running along the eighth day. So what are you going to tell the kid? Sorry, you know, your mila wasn't on the eighth day. We just, the moil was got caught in traffic. It's not an excuse for the child. The child left highness on you. What?
The year I had something
I don't care about. Early in the morning. Remember, right during the evening. You know, the person is an Indian having a bris on the eighth day. Mila Bizman. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Like Hasidim, they get a little carried away sometimes. They go against the doctor's orders because they get all worked up. Mila Bizman. You know, Hashem against the doctor's orders, but you know, they're looking to find a second opinion. Then maybe it's not such a sakana. Not to be over cautious. Maybe yes, maybe you should. Because it's a big thing. So you don't want to mess it up. You got to do it right away. You know, people get very nervous. You know, on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you've got to put on tefillin. You don't put on somebody's chakras. So when you, go to Mincha. We Mincha is 25 minutes before Shkia. I'm going to go, I'm very tired. I'm fasting, very tired. You go to sleep. Chas Shalom, you miss Mincha, you come late. You lose tefillin. You don't want to lose one day of tefillin. You hold it. People get very nervous. You daven mincha, yom Tisha B'Av, no matter how tired you are, whatever the situation is, early minyan for mincha. It's mincha ketana. Even though mincha ketana yeshno is not an ideal time to daven mincha. Mincha ketana, the whole world today, everyone is into mincha ketana. At work, mincha ketana. You know, right away you got to daven. Even chassidim mincha ketana, because you just gotta get it out of the way. It's not the ideal time to mincha. The ideal time to mincha is plag mincha, or at the mamish didumei chama. That is the ideal time. People come late. They come during shkia. They're davening mincha the way it should be davened at the end of the day. That's the ideal time. People daven mincha ketana. They think of the mincha gedola. They think, oh, they're very from. They daven. It's better, right? But on the other hand. You know, you're not allowed to do things before mincha. You're not allowed to have a suda. You're not allowed to go for a haircut. You're not allowed to engage in business. It's an impossible balance. It's really impossible to balance the two. Okay, I'm going to die mincha at the end of the day. And I'm going to go to a very important business meeting. And you know, we all know, you get all very deeply immersed in whatever you're doing. So before you turn around, that's it. You lost out. How do you balance what is ideal with what is practical? It's very hard. So that's when it comes to tefillin. Here we have the laws of putting on tefillin by a bris mila, and he says, "Uviyoyim sheyesh mila ein lachloitz ad achar hamila." No ands, if, or buts, which seemingly means every single person in the Beis HaKnesset should keep their tefillin on until the davening, the bris mila, is over. The Mishnah Berurah says exactly the same thing.
Not the Suda.
Just the bris, the actual bris meal. No, because the Suda, the Al-Khayri would be ideal to wear, to do it, but we don't eat with Tzol on it. Suda's Keva. A Suda's Ara, you do it, but a Suda's Keva, you don't eat. But why? So we'll see. So because it says it's an ois, a person who always shows two signs. You need witnesses. You need witnesses to protect you that you're Jewish. You have two oisais. The bris is an ois, a 24/7 ois, and the tefillin is an ois. That's why on Shabbos, one of the reasons, it's not such a really good reason, it's not the only reason, on Shabbos we do not wear tefillin, because Shabbos itself is the ois. Shabbos, shtreimel b'mkayim tefillin. You only wear the shtreimel on Shabbos. Shabbos itself is the ois. You don't need the tefillin. That's not the only reason. But the proper to mingle, the two oisai shall be mingled together. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and that is what it says here in the Kitzshlach, and we're going to see over here at the bottom, the Shabbos Halach, he comes to save us. The Rosh Chodesh next, now we come to Rosh Chodesh, Cholzin Kodem Tilas Musaf. On Rosh Chodesh, we take off tefillin. We learned these halachas. We learned Mishnah Berurah, the last chalik of Mishnah Berurah. You take off the tefillin, kaidem tilas musaf. Why? Two reasons. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? Only quotes one reason. Mishnah Berurah, because it's a shtickle Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you do not wear tefillin. What makes a day Yom Tov? To bring a special carbon, the carbon musaf. So even though halacha l'maisa, men do not treat Rosh Chodesh as a full-fledged Yom Tov, it's more reserved for women. Men lost the Yom Tov when they worship the eagle. It is a semi-Yom Tov, but being that it is a semi-Yom Tov, at least when we daven musaf, at the time of wearing the special carpet, it's a Yom Tov, you don't wear tefillin. That is minig Ashkenaz. Should be weird that not everyone agrees with this. There are people that wear tefillin even when they do daven musaf. That's not what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. That's not what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But you should be aware there are other opinions that no, Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom Tov. It's not a Yom Tov. So why are you taking off your tefillin? Are you davening musaf? Okay, so you have a special carbon today. So what? So, but it's not a yud that's also in Malacha. When Chanukah and the Purim are Yom Tovim, you may Mishnah v'Simcha. We wear tefillin. Other Rabbi should be car. The whole union of the whole union of Purim is to wear tefillin. So it's not such a solid. It's not everyone agrees with this, but that's the halacha. We take off our tefillin before we dive in musaf. Because now, what about nusach sfard? Nusach sfard. They have a better reason why they take off their tefillin, because keser. Anyone dive in nusach sfard? So you say the short keser. There's the long keser and the short keser. I never knew this before recently. There's the long keser you say on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then there's a short keser you only say on Rosh Chodesh and the Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed, the short keser. So he's saying to Hashem, keser yidnu lecha, it's not proper that you should be wearing a keser. If you're giving a keser to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there are many allusions. Nusach Sfar is very midrashic. You notice Nusach Atzila, it's more of a midrashic type of davening, more than a pshat oriented. So if you're giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu a keser, and we have in the Chazal many allusions that the tefillin are the edyecha, they are the jewelry, they are our crowns. It's not proper to give Hashem a crown when you're wearing your own crown. And that's why Nusach Sfar takes off their tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. It can very well be, someone told me, that really the reason why Ashkenazim take it off were influenced by the Sfarad, by the Sfaradim. Because since the Sfaradim, they say Keser, and they have a very solid reason to take it off. So we also take it off, but we don't have Keser. So we have to come up with a secondary reason, because it's a Yom Tov. It's a Shtikul Yom Tov. We're bringing Karban Musaf. Karban Musaf, we don't wear Tulin when we have. But the bottom line is, we don't wear Tulin by next, b'cholamoid sukkis, on cholamoid sukkis, kulam cholzim koydim hal. Everyone taking the sukkis. Sukkis yonav, everyone takes off the tefillin for the halel. Because halel is, so the kids shochna right away is telling us here that you do wear tefillin. Okay? It does say you wear tefillin. B'cholamoid sukkis, kulam, it's a double pasha, according to the kids. You wear tefillin. Right? Pasha. He doesn't say not to make a bracha. You wear tefillin. You wear tefillin, you make a bracha. He doesn't say anything about not making the bracha. Right? He would say so.
The Mishneh Berurah says you don't make a bracha. But he doesn't say anything. You're wearing tefillin. It goes with the head. You're wearing tefillin. Just when you come to Hallel, that's already the Geder of Yom Tov. So during the Geder of Yom Tov, then you should take off your tefillin. Yeah.
Because you're going to bench lower than Ezra, and you're not supposed to hold it that supposed to be wearing anything.
It's a chatzitza. I hear what you're saying. Interesting.
Otherwise, you would do it after you get to
it. Okay, that's interesting. I hear what you're saying. It's a chatzitza. It's a chatzitza. Chatz shel mitzvah. Is it really a chatzitza? You can roll up around your arm. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Cholzin koydim halal v'cholamayd pesach. So what do you do? Hatzibur cholzin koydim halal v'yashliach tzibur achar halal v'cholamayd pesach. Then the tzibur takes it before halal, but why is there a difference? Because it's not a really complete halal. It's halal chatzi halal. So being that it's chatzi halal, it's chatzi halal and chol moed pesach. The gather of yom tif is diminished. Therefore, it's tircha de tzibura to wait for the shliach tzibur to take off his tefillah. Bishlam, when it comes to sukkis, it's a real yom tif. Every single day is a different carbon. You say halal sholim. Therefore, you got to give the shliach tzibur. Can't wear the tefillin. It's not proper. It's a yom tif. It's a yom tif. You got to give the shliach tzibur time to take a tefillin as well. But Pesach, it's not really a yom tif, chol moed, because there's no separate. It's only chatzei halal. You don't bring. It's only a minute to say halal. You don't bring a full fledged new karbonus. So, okay, so the tzibur, no one's stopping you, no one's bothering you, you're not holding anyone up, but the shliach tzibur, the shatz, he's going to go take off his tzilnus, because he's going to hold up the tzibur 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever, people got to catch the train. Tzirchot tzibur, psychology, even 1 minute, even 10 seconds, people already begin to lose it. They lose it.
Why
does it? Because Rosh Chodesh is certainly, you take it up for us. He's saying, why do we let the Shliach Tzibur? Well, because there, anyway, it's a silent Shemon Esher. Anyway, giving people time. Hallel, what? No, Hallel, the Shliach Tzibur, so the Olam, they're all taking off their tefillin, I guess what he means is doing Chazaras HaShatz, seemingly. So there's no pause in the Seder HaTzvila. The tzibur, it appears, how can you take off your tefillin during Chazor Shabbat, so you're listening to Lechav in every single Amen? So I guess it's not a contradiction. That's seriously what you're saying. That you can still Lechav into the entire Nusach of the Chazor Shabbat while you're on autopilot taking off your tefillin. Do you remember today taking off your tefillin Shal Yad Shal Rosh? Do you remember the whole process? Or was it all autopilot? So I guess he's assuming that you're taking the tzibur is taking off the tefillin during Chazaras HaShatz in autopilot, and the shliach tzibur keeps on going straight. There's no delay. But when it comes to Hallel, then if the shliach tzibur would stop, there would be a delay. So we don't want him to stop. But on Sukkis, we have to give him a chance because it's not right. It's not right to wear your tefillin for the shliach tzibur to wear the tefillin when he's saying Hallel Sholem. But Pesach, it's chatzah, it's not so terrible. But Rosh Chodesh, doing chatzah, we do it from Tachli, Rosh Chodesh, you do it from when you say chatzah halal. I really go to prove the point. But anyway, there's a pause. Anyway, everyone is stopping. Everyone is stopping now to say the silent shmonesh. Some people got it very quickly, some got it very slowly. So there's anyway a pause. But the proof is Adrav, you see that on Rosh Chodesh, it's not so terrible to wear your tefillin during Chatzah Hallel. The Haraya, the whole tzibur is wearing their tefillin halal. Now he does not mention what the Mishneh Berurah says. I think the Mishneh Berurah says that on the first day Pesach, the minhag olam is to keep your tefillin on. Everyone keeps their tefillin on, even the tzibur, until after laning. Because what is the Kriya Satar the first day Chol Moed Pesach? Kadesh Lichol Bukhar, Petach Rechem, the parashios of Tfilin. So the first day of Pesach, Chol Moed, you lain for Kriyas HaTorah, the parashios of Tfilin. Then the minhag is to keep your Tfilin on for Hallel, and keep it on for Kriyas HaTorah, in order you should be wearing the Tfilin when you read the parashios of the Torah, of the Tfilin. Okay, so that's an exception which he does not mention here. He'll have to stop here, but in the bottom we'll see, discusses why the minhag olam is to take off your tefillin
for a bris milah.